You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today to talk about this Texas Rangers rotation. It is Tuesday, September 7th. Your Rangers are 49-88. Yeah, they're worse in the division. They are officially eliminated from the playoffs this weekend. They currently hold the fourth worst record in Major League Baseball. They're 5.5 games back from the Orioles with the worst record, I guess, ahead, whatever. Four and a half games out of the first pick, four and a half out of the second pick, which the Diamondbacks now have, and half a game out of the third pick, which now belongs to the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's okay. It's okay because the starting rotation of the future is starting to look really, really good. And I know I just said starting twice, but you know, whatever. It's fine. It's just the start of the podcast. There we go. That's three times in one sentence. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Let them know Locked On sent you. So let's look at this weekend. This weekend featured three good, I'd say impressive starting pitching performances from your Texas Rangers. The Friday game, you know, I call it impressive. He didn't quite make it through five innings, but Glenn Otto, I was really impressed with what he did in Friday's game. He's going up against Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, that Shohei Ohtani, who started, pitched seven innings, only allowed two runs, struck out eight. Jason Martin homered off of Shohei Ohtani. That was a pretty cool moment for him. Multi-hit game from him. Three-hit game from Nick Solak. Really exciting. But Glenn Otto, I need to get to him. He threw almost 30 pitches. I believe it was 32, maybe 34. But it looked like, all right, in the first inning, and he allowed a couple of runs from the Angels. It's like, all right, well, this kid, we don't want to wear him out. And once you throw over 35 pitches, it's like, okay, you got to pull him out because you've done too much damage. It doesn't matter how efficient they are. Over about 35 pitches in one inning, you're like, all right, 40 is the real hard max for some of the older guys, the veterans, but 35 for a youngster, for a rookie who hasn't pitched all that much in his career quite yet, that's like, all right, it's time to pull the plug on this bad boy. But he was just under what they would do. He faced his last batter, he's able to get him out. Old Woody said afterwards that, yeah, that was his last hitter of the inning, whether he finished the inning or not. So it was a good thing he was able to get through that. But then afterwards, he went four and two-thirds innings for this game. He only walked one. He allowed four hits, two of those runs. Both of those came in the very first inning. It wasn't that he wasn't retiring a lot of hitters, but in the first inning, the Angels were just putting together these really, really long at-bats, just incredibly long at-bats. And that made it really, really hard for him to be able to get out and get a quick inning. He was able to get Brandon Marsh to ground out to IKF, and that was able to get him out of the first inning. Then after that, he was absolutely nailed. The bottom of the second inning, you got Max Stassi called out on strikes. Jack Mayfield lined out to IKF, then struck out Juan Lagares. Then in the third inning, came in. He did allow a leadoff single to David Fletcher, but he got Shohei Ohtani to ground into a double play and got Phil Gosselin to pop out on the second pitch of the at-bat. So another 1-2-3 inning, wasn't retiring all in order, but still counts. Bottom of the fourth inning gets Jared Walsh striking out. Joe Adell grounds out. Brandon Marsh is called out on strikes. So another quick inning for him there. Then in the bottom of the fifth inning, Max Stassi popped out. Long at bat to Jack Mayfield. Juan Lagares was able to reach on a fielder's choice. And there's an error charge to IKF, so not really his fault. David Fletcher, he got to get out the very next batter. But then he was pulled after that because he was about at his limit for pitches in an outing. Then in comes Dennis Santana to come in and get Shohei Ohtani to fly out to DJ Peters on the first pitch. So it wasn't as great of a straight-up performance, but I think we learned more about him in that, more about Glenn Otto in that, and he learned more about how to be a major league pitcher because it's easy to be good. It's easy to pitch well when everything's going well for you, when your stuff looks good, when your slider is striking guys out, when they're not able to square up your fastball. But it's much, much harder to figure out how to work around stuff when guys are fouling everything off, when you're not able to get the swings and misses, you're not able to finish off batters. It is much more difficult to go and have a strong outing and make the most of it. That's what makes the really best pitchers the best, is when they don't have their stuff, when things aren't going their way. They still find a way to get results. And Glenn Otto, I mean, it wasn't like ace results or anything, but like that was a really solid result for him, for a guy who threw 30 plus pitches, gave up a pair of runs in the first inning. I was really impressed with him. He threw a little bit more of his four-seam fastball in that start. Not as it wasn't straight even with the amount of times he threw the slider. Slider wasn't looking as good. He threw the curveball and the changeup just about as much as he did in the first one, but just rely a little bit more on that four-seamer. The slider wasn't quite as crisp. It was still good, but it wasn't the same level of spectacular that it was in the first outing. But I really liked what I saw from him there, battling back against a really solid Angels lineup. Like, it's not just Shohei Ohtani. There is no Mike Trout, and I don't know that we'll see Mike Trout for the rest of the year. The injury that's kept him out for the longest time, his rehab isn't going quite as well as they wanted it to. So they're considering shutting him down for the year because they are in fourth place in the division. Also, some other divisional news real quick. By the way, the Oakland A's are not in second in this division anymore. They are not. They have fallen off quite hard. They were really looking good at that wild card spot, but they have really fallen off a cliff. Now the Mariners are 75-63, half a game ahead of them. Mariners, I believe, 5.5 games back for the Astros for the division crown. The Astros haven't been doing super, super well, but the A's really fell off a cliff, and you know they went into Toronto, and man, that Toronto lineup is just nasty. They're just a really, really nice series by Toronto and a really bad couple of weeks for the Oakland A's, who might not make the playoffs, and I'm pretty sure will sell off everybody in this offseason, which is going to be a real bummer for those A's fans. But it's going to be a real shift of power in the West. I think Seattle might be coming on quite a bit next year, and if the Angels can get a healthy, all of their three big core players in Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, and Anthony Rendon, who Rendon has missed quite a bit of time this year as well, that could be their year in the AL West. I don't know, we'll see, because the Astros are going to lose quite a bit. But point is, Glenn Otto looked really, really impressive in this one, and I got to say, I was really happy with what he did, even though the Rangers were able to win this one. They went 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. Open had a pretty fine day. Jarrell Cotton pitched a couple of shutout innings. Santana did allow one run in his inning and a third of work, but it's fine. The Rangers aren't exactly trying to win games, and a three-hit game from Nick Solak and a multi-hit game from Jason Martin, including a home run off of Shohei Ohtani, is nothing to roll your eyes at. So very good stuff from this team there. Now let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit at Sunday and Monday's games, and a little bit at Saturday's game, which was just fine. But first, this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Do you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't really stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineup and dares you to beat them. You can name the stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. Nobody else does that. You're in control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free right now. You can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That is unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon. Now, let's take a little bitty look at Saturday's game. Not too much to mention here, except for, hold on. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong game. Not Sunday's game. Saturday's game was pretty solid. The only real thing to make note of is a multi-hit game from Leody Taveras. IKF has been really, really struggling. A three-strikeout day from Adolis Garcia. A two-strikeout game from DJ Peters. Nobody else in the lineup did all that much to stand out. He had a double for Leody Taveras, his third of the season. A couple of errors on Charlie Culberson. Runners with runners in scoring position, this team went 0-for-7. Yeah, not a great day. Not a great day for Colby Allwood either. 5-2/3 He struck out four, allowed four runs. Three of those were earned in a pair of home runs to Shohei Ohtani, which, you know, if that'll happen, that's fine. Juan Lagares, only his fourth home run of the season. So don't really feel super great about that. But DeMarcus Evans was able to come in, work an inning in a third of perfect baseball. Spencer Patton came in and worked one shutout inning. So, like, overall, just not really a notable game. But man, Jose Suarez for the Angels pitched a heck of a game. Only allowed the one run, pitched a complete game, struck out eight, didn't walk any single Ranger. Yeah, he was absolutely dominant. The Rangers could do just nothing about it. Just had absolutely zero chance. But let's get to Sunday's game. Sunday's game was really one worth mentioning. Adolis Garcia had a solid game, but you know who really had the game of his life? DJ Peters. Oh my goodness, the Southern California native had just an incredible game. A pair of home runs, a pair of doubles, a four-hit game for him, which is, you know, by far his career high. He has 10 home runs, or his ninth and 10th home runs on the season. Rangers weren't that great with runners in scoring position, but it didn't matter because Taylor Hearn was on it. He was absolutely on it. Seven innings, which is a new career high. He threw 77 pitches, 54 of those were strikes. The guy was not walking anybody. He struck out four, and two of those four strikeouts came against, yeah, that's right, Shohei freaking Ohtani. Yeah, that's right, Shohei freaking Ohtani. The only runs that he allowed were on Joe Adell home runs, which, you know, it looks bad on the outside if you don't know much about Joe Adell. He had his second home run of the season in the fourth inning and his third home run of the season in the sixth inning. You're like, oh my gosh, this guy doesn't have He only had one home run coming into this game, and he's played basically the entire year. What are we doing? But no, Joe Adell has been an elite prospect. He's a number 10 overall pick. He's a guy who is not quite figured out in the big leagues, but I know he will. He is a really talented player. So giving up home runs to Joe Adell, even though he's not doing super well this year, is nothing to scoff at. Just a really solid outing for Taylor Hearn. And Evan Grant of the Dallas Morning News wrote a little bit about just making sure to, like, take care of him and not try and overwork him, which I get to talk about maybe shutting him down for the season. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's necessarily a smart thing to do. If he feels fine, if the Rangers doctors say his arm is fine, his shoulder's fine, everything, all that is good to go, then, like, I don't see why not throw him out there for some more games. Like, it makes sense. He has been good. He wasn't having to work too hard. He was throwing quite a bit of sinkers because he's got a really good fastball, and the Angels were really trying to jump on that early. So they were grounding into a lot of quick outs because he was using that sinker. They were thinking it was the four-seamer. They were thinking they could get a jump on it and try and ambush him first pitch, but they couldn't. They just straight up couldn't. Taylor Hearn looked fantastic. His pitch assortment was on point, and, you know, I've just really loved what I've seen from him so far this year. Using that sinker has really made a difference for him. And I've been really impressed with with what he's done since he's been starting. A little bit about what he's done his last four starts. He's thrown 23 and two thirds innings. But that is not to mention that is great, nearly averaging six innings a start. But in that time, he only has thrown two walks and, just under 71% of his pitches have been for strikes. That is from Evan Grant. Yeah, that is something that he had struggled with quite a bit with the walks this season and in his career a little bit. He's having a lot of control. He's staying in the zone. He is just doing a fantastic job, and I am so excited. I think it's no doubt at this point that he is going to be a starter in the Rangers rotation next year, and if he's not, then I am going to pitch a fit until he is. Not that I have a lot of sway. He's thrown in 38 games this year. He has a 3.95 ERA, an ERA plus of 110. He's thrown 84 and a third innings, which isn't his career high as a minor leaguer, but it's been quite a bit since he's thrown more innings than this. Let me go look that up real quick. I believe it was 2018 that he threw his career high in innings. Let me double check that. Where are we at? Yes, 2018, he threw 129 innings. Then in 2019, he only threw 20 because of that injury that he had. He only threw that many in Nashville. He also threw 0.1 of an inning. Yeah, that was his major league debut. Also, it should be noted that he hasn't started before this year, he hasn't started since that horrendous first major league start where he only threw a third of an inning and allowed five total runs and walked four, only got one out. Yeah. But he has been great this year. I've really loved what I've seen. 81 strikeouts in 84 and a third innings. The strikeouts have been down a little bit since he's been in a starting role because he's trying to attack the zone a little bit more and trying to be more economical with his pitch count, which makes sense. And I totally agree with it. He's got 34 walks in those 84 third innings. But like I said, those walks have been trending way, way, way down. And that has been definitely encouraging to see. I don't know how many more starts he'll get this year. He'll probably get like one or two, which is what I would like. I think they'll probably limit his pitch count in those starts, maybe a little bit more even than he has been. But I'm really excited to see that. Also, I'm a little unsure of what the rest of this Rangers rotation is going to look like, and a little bit more unsure of what I thought about what next year's rotation is going to look like because of how well these young guys have done. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the best start from a Ranger, at least a young Ranger, I should say, in this back half of the season. Kyle Gibson did some good stuff, but he's not here anymore. But we're going to talk about AJ Alexi, what he did, what kind of history it made in Monday's win over the Angels. But first, this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without all the hassle. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings live TV and on-demand favorites together like you never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no more need to buy another device again ever. You know the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why would you wait and endure often pointless or intimidating questioning about your car, wait for the person behind the counter to order parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouses happen to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why do you choose to spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more, all for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. At Rock Auto, prices are reliably low for every single customer. They've got every single thing you could need. So go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On. There, how'd you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Also, if you're enjoying listening to this podcast, you might enjoy listening to Locked On Bets. Betting on the Rangers or just Major League Baseball in general doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get a daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's take a look at one of the most impressive starts by a young Ranger in quite a while, one AJ Alexi. First off, hats off to you. Hats off to you, AJ Alexi. Just really solid stuff. Six innings, one hit, two walks, seven strikeouts, not a single run. The guy has a perfect zero ERA, and man, in two starts, he has been just fantastic. He is the first MLB player since at least 1893 to go five plus shutout innings and allow one or zero hits in his first two appearances, both of those starts. That is via Elias Sports. Yeah, the first player to do anything since 1893. That's a good list to be on. That is a very freaking good list to be on. I have been very impressed with what he has done. The 6'4", 23-year-old. Yeah, he's also only 23 years old. I'm feeling very good about my prediction of him being in the starting rotation next year. I didn't quite expect him to jump up this year, but once I saw what he did last time, I mean, not exactly some brilliant prediction, like, oh, look, he did really well. maybe he's going to continue to do well, or at least get an opportunity. Yeah, duh, Bryce. Of course he is. But the pitch mix has been really solid so far. He's been using quite a bit of his slider and his changeup and his curveball, even though he's still nearly 60% fastball. The fastball has done well for him so far. He's got about 18 to 19% slider usage, just about 16% on the changeup, and 7% of the curveball. So not using that curveball quite a bit, but, you know, that's fine. People are doing, are not able to do anything with his fastball. So, like, why would he really change that up? Hitters have not gotten a hit off of his fastball. He's thrown 97 times. Not a single hit has he allowed on it. He has allowed a hit on the curveball and the slider. Changeup, nobody's hitting anything against it. The expecting batting average against his four-seamer, you'd think, okay, well, it's got to be higher than zero. But it's not all that much higher than zero. It's 134. So hitters are expected to be hitting 134 on it. He's thrown his slider 31 times. Batters are batting 250 against it. The expecting batting average is 0.005. Yeah, 0.005. Yeah, not 100, not 050, 005, 005. It's below 007. Yeah, he is below James Bond. The whiff percentage he's getting on that slider is 41.7%. So yeah, 41.7% of the swings people are taking on it, they are swinging and missing. The changeup has been very good as well. The curveball, not so much. It has not been super great, as in he has allowed a hit in it, and the only time it's been able to be put in play, he's not gotten a single swing and miss off of it. Might want to throw that one a little bit less. He's only using it about 70% of the time, but like maybe use it a little bit less than that even. The fastball has been real solid. It's averaging 93.1 miles an hour. The spin rate isn't anything super spectacular at a 21.93. That's right around league average, but he is locating it very, very well. He has struck out six batters on that fastball. Three of his strikeouts come against the slider, and two of those on the changeup. So the guy knows what he's doing. The scouting report will continue to be, you know, built on him. And he's not going to have this level of success for his entire career or even probably the rest of the season. But he has been putting up solid numbers. I have been really impressed with him. It's funny, the curveball, he's locating it like pretty well. It's not anyone that have been like in the heart of the zone. They're mostly outside the zone, but batters are still squaring it up. Fastball usage, he has known where to place it. He is painting the black with that. Same with the changeup as well. The slider location hasn't been as good, but it's been nasty enough that hitters haven't really been able to do all that much with it. I've been really impressed with AJ Lexi. I am really believing he's going to be one of the big parts of this Rangers rotation next year. Dane Dunning is hopefully coming back sometime this week. I think we've seen the last of Jordan Lyles and Mike Foltynewicz starting this year. You know, I didn't think that they'd be pushed out of the rotation this year by some of these guys, but here we are, and we have all these different guys, Glenn Otto, AJ Alexi, we have Taylor Hearn, we have Dane Dunning as well. Kobe Allard is still going to continue to get a look. Spencer Howard as well. Kohei Arihara, who is here next year as well. There's a lot of guys that deserve looks in this rotation. I think they might skip the random odd start for some of these younger guys just to kind of give them a little bit more rest. But I'm intrigued. I got to say, I'm intrigued to see just about almost every start that's going to be going forward for this Rangers team throughout next year. I thought the Rangers would have a lot more use for Jordan Lyles and for Mike Foltynewicz next year. It's not looking like they are. They have enough to have a five-man rotation that looks at least solid. Spencer Howard is still going to need some time to get stretched out, so maybe he'll do a lot of tandem starts with Kohei Arihara because no offense to Kohei, I don't think he's part of this Rangers long-term plan in the rotation. He might be. He'll be here next year, and they're going to need him to be solid and get through a bunch of innings like he hasn't quite done this year, but he's missed so much of it due to injury, and I think he underperformed due to injury early on, and he also had quite a bit of bad luck in his first couple of starts with just some bad defense behind him. So I don't know. This rotation is looking much more solid. I'm very encouraged by it, and there is a lot of reason for optimism in this Rangers rotation. And, you know, as much as I love Cole Winn and would love to say, hey, let's see some Cole Winn next year, I don't think they'll need him. And it might take a really good season of him in AAA to prove that he can crack this rotation, which is not something I thought at all before the season, but they have quite a few bona fide solid starters. Do I think any of them are going to be potential aces? I don't know. I think that Spencer Howard has the highest potential of any of these guys. I think Tane Downing's going to be solid for quite a long time. And most of these guys are going to be pretty solid for quite a few years. But that is a hard thing to do, is to build a rotation almost entirely out of youngsters and not really using that much of guys in free agency. I don't think there's a need to go out and get a starting pitcher in free agency this year. I think that'd be a bad idea. They just need to go get a couple of bats or something like that. But I'm getting ahead of myself. This Rangers young rotation is exciting, and I have loved what I've seen from them this weekend. If they can continue doing stuff like this, even if they, you know, walk themselves into the fifth pick or whatever, I think that'll be okay. If this rotation continues to be as good as they've been for the rest of the season, then, you know, I'm almost at the point where I say, who cares what pick they have next year? Not quite that far, but it's still been very, very encouraging. That's going to do it for this episode. I'll be back quite a few more times this week. Hoping to have a few guests, talk to them about what's going on with their teams, what's going on with this Rangers team, and continue to be impressed with the starting pitching of this Texas Rangers baseball team. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.